We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Nobody's going anywhere this year. Roger Goodell sending a memo to teams this evening, letting them know that the league and union have decided that because of the COVID-19 pandemic, all teams are to train at their home facilities unless, quote, if a club can demonstrate to the satisfaction of a joint NFL-NFLPA medical task force that it would not be feasible to conduct it at their club facility.
With that, a very first good morning to you. This is the Early Morning Show. I'm Matt Cole here with you to about 5:40 before the Fan Morning Show pre-show. Appreciate you starting the day right here on 93.7 The Fan. That the voice of Mike Garofolo from NFL Network going over the news from the league and the memo handed down by Roger Goodell that teams won't be going anywhere besides their team facilities for training camp this year. For the Steelers, that means they're sticking to the South Side and that a 54-year run will be snapped. The year was 1965. The Rolling Stones' I Can't Get No Satisfaction was on top of the charts. AstroTurf was invented that year. I don't know if that was a good thing or a bad thing, really, looking back on it. The Sound of Music was a top movie. The cost of a gallon of gas, you know, you always have to cite this. Cost of a gallon of gas was 31 cents. The cost of a dozen eggs, 53 cents. And the cost of a new home was around $21,500. That was when the Steelers first started going to St. Vincent for training camp, and they haven't stopped since until now, until that announcement yesterday and that memo handed down from Roger Goodell. Now, this won't be the end forever, of course. You know, hopefully the Steelers will be back at St. Vincent as soon as next year. But this is significant because this has been part of their schedule, their routine, their calendar for a long, long time now. And maybe it was part of your routine in the summer. Maybe you went out to Latrobe or affectionately argued Latrobe. I don't know. I still don't know what it is. I'm a Latrobe guy, Latrobe truther, I guess. Maybe you went out there at least once a summer to check out a training camp practice. So it was part of your traditions. And I think it's one of those unique traditions in sports where a team is kind of bonded with a community and with a particular town. And Latrobe won't have that this year. And you know what? That sucks because it brings in a lot of money. It sucks for the businesses, for the restaurants, for the hotels. I mean, there are some worldly people that make their way to their town to watch the Steelers, even if it's just for a couple hours. I mean, there are people from inside the sports world and from outside of it that all come to cover those camps, whether they are doing so for a network or they're just doing so for their own entertainment and because they grew up a Steelers fan and because that brand holds a lot of weight. And I haven't spent like decades at St. Vincent, like some of the writers and analysts you'll probably hear from today after this news comes out that, you know, the Steelers won't be there this year. But I did get a chance to spend time there for a couple of summers with the Fan. And one that I remember particularly whenever I was an intern. And it's a really cool dynamic. I mean, I remember eating lunch in the cafeteria and walking past the table going to get probably seconds because, you know, I'm a pig, but going back for food and walking past a table in which Mike Tomlin was talking with Tom Coughlin. Just who knows about life in general, about football, coaching, whatever it was. But I remember walking past that table and thinking to myself, oh, wow, that's something that you don't see every day. Now I'm in a different place here. This isn't, you know, Waynesburg University's cafeteria. And players just kind of milling around and media members from different stations and different networks just kind of eating with each other. Maybe it wouldn't be, you know, an opportunity to do that outside of training camp. Had a chance to meet LaDainian Tomlinson there, one of my favorite players. So that was cool. He was working for NFL Network. And I also had two revelations that year, I remember specifically, as an intern. One, this was, I think, the summer of 2016. Yes, 16. So my first revelation was being at training camp and being right there to kind of cover it and being on, you know, the sidelines or whatever, is that I realized that Antonio Brown was much more beloved. The fans were just constantly, especially kids, AB. As soon as he came close to them, was much more beloved than I thought at that point in the summer of 16. And at the very same time, was much more full of himself than I thought. Because at anything that Antonio Brown did, whether he ran a good route and got himself open, whether he caught a pass, whatever he did, ran a sprint, every time he got close to the crowd, he, you know, put his hands up, you know, asking for more of the love coming to his way, pounded his chest a little bit, was all about AB. And I thought to myself, oh my gosh. I mean, this guy's a superstar, but he certainly loves the limelight. Who knew just a few years later what that would turn into? And then the second revelation I had that year was that Jim Colony is a legend. Because this was one of the first times that I had met him. I needed to get a recorder off of him and went to his dorm room that he was doing updates from, which he normally does whenever he's at training camp. We won't have that this year for the fan morning show. But I remember Jim opening the door, answering the door as I knocked on it to try to get this recorder from him so I could do, you know, some interviews, be a part of some scrums later on that day. He opens up the door at like 10 o'clock and he's got his Pine Richland gym shorts on. His hair is always short and it was short that time, but you could tell it was in a bit of a mess. There was, you know, it was tufted. It was going, you know, three different ways. And his, you know, his glasses were a little crooked. You know, he comes out with a hoodie on and flip-flops. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is what this guy looks like whenever he is giving his updates throughout the morning. Looked like he had just rolled out of bed and probably had. I mean, why not? I can't blame him. He started updates at whatever, 6 o'clock in the morning, or if he was still doing AM updates at that time, 5 o'clock in the morning. So why not roll out of bed and just do it? But Jim Colony had just no shame for the state that he was in. And you know what? I respected that. And I still respect Jim for that. He is unashamedly himself. And that's what makes part of what makes him such a broadcasting legend in this town. Practically, Mike Tomlin talks all the time about how they love to get away and spend time bonding there as a team. Was it just lip service? Maybe. But I'd have to think that that's a more special setting than just the team facilities where they'll go to a hotel and just kind of end the day there, which also makes me question why they couldn't just make it a hub at St. Vincent. But I guess I understand that, you know, especially the school in, you know, they might not even have students on campus this year, so they certainly wouldn't want the Steelers to stay there, I wouldn't think. So is there a practical application of the Steelers not going to St. Vincent this year? I don't know. That's up for debate. Probably not. But this is another in the long list of unique events in sports, along with things like, you know, March Madness that we missed out on and fans in the stands, maybe, at least at first, that we won't have this year. And, you know, another thing that this COVID-19 outbreak has taken away from us, and hopefully it doesn't, you know, leak into the actual season in the NFL. Also want to get to this real quickly here before I wrap up this first segment. And James Conner spoke again yesterday. Here's part of what he had to say.
The more work I put my body through, I know it all translates. But I just want to be healthy and give it all I got. Play for my teammates, man. We got an awesome group year in and year out. Stuff like that. Goal is to win.
So he's working hard this offseason. I'm sure you've seen pictures, videos of him working out, and he's, you know, not afraid to show that off. We've seen a lot of it with him and Juju Smith-Schuster as well. Also talked about his contract situation.
Not concerned about the extension. I know I got another year left on my contract. I'm giving everything I got for, you know, for one more year, and I'll, you know, we'll see what happens after that. But just going to ball out, just going to play football and play it to the best of my ability.
James Conner has seemingly had himself a great offseason. He continues to do and say all the right things. He's stronger. Maybe that makes him more durable during the season. He's got the right mindset. He claims he's not thinking about this impending contract, and he's just trying to win a Super Bowl. He's just trying to do everything he can to help the Steelers win more games in 2020. All of those things I love. All of those things a fan of the Steelers would love and should love out of James Conner. But he is in the ultimate show-me position. Similar to how the Browns talk and do things, and then whenever it's time to actually put up or shut up, they don't. I'm not saying James Conner's the Cleveland Browns, but they're in the ultimate show-me position as well, where nobody believes it unless they see it. I think I'm there, and I think a lot of fans are there with James Conner. It is, you know, I don't think there's anything he could do this offseason to convince me that he can stay healthy all year rather than him just going out and doing it. Can you be that feature back for, you know, close to, if not all 16 games? He's got to go out there and prove it no matter what he says, no matter how hard he works out. So I love that he's doing those things. And he has, you know, been all over the place this offseason and has been vocal about him, you know, coming back stronger and doing all of the right things. But show up for 15, 16 games and be that feature back. That's kind of where I am on James Conner. All right, coming up next, some things you may have missed in the sports world from yesterday. And then I'm going to move this up. Normally it's on a Thursday. I'm going to move it up to a Wednesday. Hopefully I've got some other things for you planned out for tomorrow. So we're going to do some big deal or no big deal to round out the show today. That's all on the way. It's the early morning show on 93.7 The Fan. 5:18 on this Wednesday, and a good morning to you here on 93.7 The Fan. Some things that you may have missed from yesterday in the sports world, especially if you're up this early here on the early morning show. Let's get to it.
Time now for While Jens Was Sleeping on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
First of all, get a text into the show that Tom Papa from Golden Razor is retired and that they're going to miss him. You know what? I am too. If you ever called in to try to get a haircut at the Golden Razor in Bloomfield, you'd hear this.
Golden Razor.
Tom Papa, a legend in the business. I hope he enjoys every single bit of his retirement. Great man. Great dude. Went there after, you know, I grew that beard out. This was a couple years ago. Grew my hair and beard out until the Pirates won 30 games. And it took a little while. I think it was mid-June, end of June, maybe right around this time of year. And Tom Papa was the guy to give it a nice shave. So hope he enjoys every bit of that.
Golden Razor.
There you go. All right. Yesterday in the sports world, Zion Williamson, in a weird legal case and kind of an entertaining one, there was a ruling that requires him to answer questions under oath related to his eligibility and any improper benefits he or his family may have received. His eligibility has come under scrutiny after Gina Ford and Prime Sports Marketing, his former agency, they filed suit against him seeking $100 million for breach of contract. And Ford and Prime Sports also filed a request for admissions asking Williamson to admit that his mother and stepfather demanded and received gifts, money, and or other benefits from persons acting on behalf of Duke University. directly or indirectly to influence you or him to attend Duke University to play basketball. And Williamson's attorneys are expected to file an appeal on the ruling. So this is kind of taking twists and turns here. It's a story that's not necessarily going away. And you know, I said this when this was first brought up. I wonder if there's any kind of connection made here, or if he will get thrown into the fray at all, Jeff Capel, because we know that he was, you know, influential in bringing Zion Williamson to Duke and so many of those top recruits to Duke University whenever he was there. I just wonder if eventually he'll get roped into that kind of thing. I hope not, certainly, that he stays away from this situation. Be interesting to see what happens here with Zion Williamson. Also yesterday, an Oklahoma State linebacker, I'm not even going to pretend to pronounce his last name because it is long and it's full of, you know, a lot of different letters and consonants, and I'm not going to go there. But he said on Tuesday night on Twitter that he had tested positive for COVID-19 and said, quote, after attending a protest in Tulsa and being well protective of myself, I have tested positive for COVID-19. Please, if you're going to protest, take care of yourself and stay safe. Yeah, there's also that going on. Like, there have been a ton of, you know, huge things that have, you know, come into the news over the last couple days. Obviously, that is a very big, heavy issue. But, you know, every once in a while, I kind of step back and think, wow, there's all these people gathering in these spaces so close to each other, and yet we still have this lingering. And you see the effects of it right here with COVID-19 coming to an Oklahoma State linebacker. And then also from yesterday, Clemson special teams coordinator Danny Pierman released a statement yesterday, and really last night, after former Clemson football player Kenyon Tuttle told head coach Dabo Swinney took him to task earlier in the day on Twitter, contending that an assistant coach called a player the N-word during practice with no repercussions. And Tuttle didn't identify the coach or the player in the incident, but former Clemson tight end DJ Greenlee told the state newspaper in Columbia that the incident occurred between himself and Pierman during a practice. And Pierman's statement, you know, read, the 3 years ago on a practice field, I made a grave mistake involving DJ Greenlee. I repeated a racial slur I overheard when trying to stop the word from being used on the practice field. What I overheard, I had no right to repeat. While I did not direct the term at any player, I know there is no excuse for me using the language in any circumstance. And he went on to say that he just repeated the phrase and that he was wrong in doing so. And that was just in a flurry of news coming out of Clemson yesterday, as Dabo Swinney also, you know, gave his thoughts on everything going on. And there were a lot of people that took exception to his words, thought that he didn't really do a great job in expressing how he really felt about it. I listened to some of it. I'm not necessarily in a position to comment about, you know, whether or not he said the right things. You know, I'm not in a position to do that. But I will say that this is the offshoot of, I guess, some people, and I'm not saying everybody has, but some people demanding that everybody makes a statement and comes out with a, you know, words to say about this, is that not everybody is ready, or not everybody, you know, might articulate things in the way that they exactly want to. And now we're in a position where we are kind of picking apart people's statements and what they have to say about it. And that is just a dangerous game to play, because now Dabo Swinney's kind of coming under fire here for maybe not saying things the way that, I don't know, people wanted him to say it. And, you know, it's unfortunate that it's taken a turn this way, I think, because I think it just merely serves as a distraction to what the actual issue is here, and focusing on a solution and what we can be doing to fix things, rather than focusing on people's statements and picking it apart line by line like that. All right, coming up next, big deal or no big deal, going through some Pittsburgh sports storylines, determining if they are, well, a big deal or not. That's all next, Early Morning Show. Coming up at 7:30 on the Fan Morning Show, excited for this, Tony Dungy joins the show to talk about some, obviously, some very important things going on in our society right now, and also is one of the great minds, not only in football, but just in America, really. Tony Dungy joining the show at 7:30, and then at 8:45 today, Brian Baldinger from NFL Network. He's got a show that is going to be on NFL Network over the next couple weeks or so. So he'll join the show to promote that and to talk a little football with the guys. 8:45, Brian Baldinger, 7:30, Tony Dungy. Right now, though, we've got this.
Now it's time to play everybody's favorite sports game, Big Deal or No Big Deal.
All right, first up on the docket, we've got USA Today's Bob Nightingale. Yesterday on Cookin' Joe, Mr. Excitement, as Colin Dunlap likes to, you know, refer to him as, said this about what a loss of a season for baseball could mean.
Baseball attendance has been down the last 4 years. I think if there was no season strictly because of finances, and, you know, in today's climate, I think it's that we're back, you know, 20, 30 years. I don't think we're going to recover.
Setbacks for baseball, big deal, no big deal. Yeah, this is what we've heard the whole time, right? More smart baseball people with Bob saying this, you know, saying it, and I understand why. It took a steroid era to get back from the first work stoppage, or at least the most recent one, and, you know, who knows what it would take if it actually reaches that point. I've gone so back and forth on whether or not this baseball season is going to actually happen, whether I've been pessimistic or optimistic. I'm leaning more optimistic, I guess, and that's just because I've heard, you know, Ken Davidoff from the New York Post yesterday on the morning show said he believes a deal will get done. Bob Nightingale said he believes a deal will get done. Everybody thinks a deal is going to get done, and they know a lot better than I do, so I guess I'm optimistic about this whole thing. But yes, it would be a very, very big deal if they do miss this season for many, many reasons. Not included, you know, well, definitely included, that baseball as a whole just doesn't have the same cachet with younger, the younger crowd and just kids in general right now, and how detrimental that would be for them if they lose an entire season of watching Major League Baseball. Bob Nightingale also said this, though, about how a shortened season affects your Pittsburgh Pirates.
It should work out well. I think by doing it this way, too, in having seven league make the postseason, anybody has a chance. I mean, the Pirates were only half a game behind the Cardinals last year at the All-Star break. So, you know, everybody's in this thing.
Oh, boy. Big deal or no big deal here?
Not a big deal.
Come on, Bob. Don't go there. Don't give me that kind of hope. I'll accept the positive thinking, but it's just positive thinking that a shorter season can get the Pirates into the playoffs. Yeah, I mean, fewer games, you know, less time for the cream to rise to the crop, if you will, to the top, if you will. But, I mean, that's just, it's not going to happen. Please. All right, next. Jerry Dulac in the Post-Gazette yesterday says one of the five evaluations the Steelers need to make is whether Antoine Brooks can be a competent backup safety or hybrid linebacker on this team. Big deal, no big deal here.
Big deal.
There we go. It was one point in a list of five from Jerry, but to me, it shows a lack of depth on defense and a stunning lack of depth. That a sixth round pick is supposed to be in the mix, that's going to be one of their priorities, one of their evaluations whenever they get into camp is what to do with Antoine Brooks and if he can be a big part of this defense. You know, I don't know. Maybe I'm making too much of the depth issues on defense at this point, but I think there are just glaring holes, not only there, but at inside linebacker as well, and I think Jerry mentioned that as one of his evaluations of what they're going to do behind Vince Williams and Devin Bush there. Potential huge problems in both of those areas. All right, we had, you know, representation from the Post-Gazette. Now let's go to the Trib. Chris Adamski says and points out rightly that if Chase Claypool follows Steelers rookie trends, we should expect a slow start followed by a big finish. Big deal, no big deal here.
Not a big deal.
I think he's right, but I think that's okay. Chase Claypool is in the perfect position to do just that, to start out slow and then to finish big. Because he clearly has two guys in front of him on the depth chart with Juju and Deontay Johnson, maybe even James Washington. And he has another red zone target in Eric Ebron there, so he can take his time to find his way. He doesn't need to be special right away in the first couple weeks. So I think Chase Claypool is in the perfect position right now for the Steelers and can afford to do that. All right, a couple more. The Players Union embraced the proposal from the owners to play a regional schedule during the 2020 regular season to limit travel as much as possible. That, according to the Boston Globe, big deal, no big deal here.
Big deal.
Any sign of agreement is a big deal at this point because we have had so little of it between the MLB and MLBPA. Bob Nightingale did mention how the Pirates would be playing a weak AL Central because they would match up in, you know, that the division of the other league. So it would be all NL Central and all AL Central. That could definitely help them. Still not saying they're a playoff team, though. And then finally, CBS Sports examined a potential Pens-Canadians matchup and said all advantages go to Pittsburgh. Big deal, no big deal. Oh, that's good. Computer's frozen. No big deal. It's not because, you know, it is the fact that CBS Sports is saying this. It's because we already know this. Offense, check. Defense, check. Special teams, check. Goaltending, yes. Should be a check. Despite what you may think about Carey Price. We are really searching for worry here if we want to worry about this. I would say there's a bigger worry of this NHL season even going off as planned. And right now, if you ask Pierre Maguire, it's not a plan because they don't have a timeline set in place and they don't have somewhere to play. But there are much bigger worries of them actually getting to these games than them losing a potential five-game series to Montreal. CBS Sports has them winning in three. That would be a sweep. I'm not sure if I'm going to go there, but they're not far off from it. All right, a question of the day as I wrap up here on the early morning show. Something that I mentioned to begin the show today, and it's real simple. Is it Latrobe or Latrobe? Please, can we get an answer to this? Latrobe or Latrobe? Text in 412-928-9370. Fan Weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Their showroom is now open, and they're waiting to welcome you back with great incentives. Stop by or go to sunchevy.com. Today, severe afternoon thunderstorm, high of 84, and then tonight, a thunderstorm early and also cloudy and a low of 66. The pre-show, it's next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.